We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome the Western Conference Finals.
It's madness! Just madness!
And for the first time in 3 years, the Golden State Warriors are going back to the Western Conference Finals.
Curry gets open. Beautiful dribble. Shed Doncic and nails a three.
And it starts now.
The Bays team is the best team. The Golden State Warriors have won the NBA title.
This is Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience.
Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto with you. We are 90 minutes away from tip-off tonight in Dallas. It is Game 4 and a chance for the Warriors to sweep their way to the NBA Finals, for goodness sakes. I mean, come on. Game 4 to go to the NBA Finals. The first NBA Finals appearance in 3 years is what we're waiting for here. The sixth NBA Finals appearance in 8 years for the Warriors is what we're waiting for. A chance to win a fourth title in 8 seasons is what we're trying to set up tonight. And remember, in all of this, you have an NBA all-time regular season wins record of 73. That is one of the pelts they have hung on the wall. This team has a feeling about it again. It's got a look about it again. And Ray, I know that everyone's going to want to tell you what the competition is, isn't, has been, won't be, is, or will. You know, I mean, everyone's going to want to say the Warriors are responsible for who's coming out of the East, too. I know we're going to get there in the media this week. The only thing they're responsible for is handling their own business. And that's what I hope to see them do tonight in Dallas. Turn your mic on. It's playoffs, baby.
I know. I was busy watching this guy get kneed in the head in the hockey game. The Warriors, you know, have established something that I didn't know that they could, which is that they have better depth than they did in 2015 and 2017. They're maybe the deepest team to get to a finals in recent memory. And that's any team. I mean, they go legitimately 8 serious contributors deep. And usually that's where you cut off your rotations, period. They'll go 10 deep if they need to, which is why for losing Gary Payton, for losing Otto Porter, for not having Andre Iguodala, they're still deeper than everybody else. And that's the biggest sort of macro takeaway here, is that In a sport that shortens its roster, the Warriors have expanded theirs to the point where even with attrition, they don't feel those losses. You know, yeah, would it help if they had Payton and Iguodala and Porter? Of course it would. But did you see anything in Game 3 that told you, God, they really need those guys?
No. I mean, look at the fact that Moses Moody, who is throughout the regular season an afterthought if a straight-up coach DNP, has found himself taking part in this series now, getting legitimately high-leveraged minutes. And that just shows what you're talking about, how much talent they really do have. They can throw more talent and more waves of it at you than anyone. I mean, tonight, I think if we're looking at, you know, a little Bellinelli out there, things are going very, very well for the Golden State Warriors. If we're looking at Juan Toscano-Anderson at any point in time, things are going well for the Golden State Warriors. Or if things are going poorly, we might see them just thrown into the game. Like, you really don't know when Steve is going to push or pull the levers of who is up next in this series, which I also think it makes it a little harder for Jason Kidd to prepare for. He's also, as deep as they are, Ray, letting guys play through a little bit of foul trouble. Kerr talked about that in practice yesterday.
To be honest, I usually play guys through foul trouble. You know, I was such a basketball fan growing up, and I remember in college, as soon as the star player got his second foul, he'd sit out the final 15 minutes of the first half. And, I'm not saying that was wrong, but it felt like watching those games, those guys never got back into rhythm. So my philosophy, and I think the thinking has changed in general with a lot of coaches, is you'd rather, go down with your guy on the floor than you would with him on the bench protecting him from foul trouble. But then there's a matter of trust, as you talked about. So when I leave a guy out there, it's always, go have the conversation with him. Hey, you've got three, you can't reach, you got to stay vertical, all that stuff. And I have a lot of trust in Steph and Draymond and Clay to be aware of that.
I mean, and why wouldn't he, for goodness sakes? The amount of playoff experience the Warriors have beyond their depth is staggering when you start measuring it against what these other teams look like in terms of playoff experience. By the way, this is Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity Internet. Better streaming with our Flex 4K device, voice remote, Peacock Premium, all at no extra cost and no strings attached. We're going to have John Dickinson joining us in about 10 minutes, getting us a scene setter from Dallas tonight. The games that you do not play can be huge for the Warriors. Not having to go back to Denver for Game 6, I think, was a really big deal. Not having to go back from Memphis for Game 7, Ray, I think that was pretty much non-negotiable. Like, they needed to win that series in 6 to avoid going back to a buzzsaw in Memphis. And I think that ending tonight, while the Eastern Conference Finals is just a train wreck, I think it's important. I think it's important for the Warriors. Is it paramount? No. But I love it. I love the concept of 8 days off, and you're not really going to be worried about what the Warriors are going to do to get rusty. Because, in a way, they're all tin men and they know where the oil cans are to get them ready to go to play. So I don't think we need to worry about, again, the experience, the staggering playoff experience has me not worried about any kind of layoff. This group has never lost a Western Conference Finals. The last time they were in it, by the way, they swept it. That was Portland back in 2019. So they're 5-0, looking to go 6-0 tonight. 77 playoff series of experience between Curry, Clay, and Draymond. There's 88 series of playoff experience out there if you want to count Kevon Looney and Andre Iguodala. Should he play again? I mean, you'd be adding a player with 35 postseason series under his belt. I don't know. I guess we could do a little homework on this tonight. Lucas, I'm looking at you.
Lucas isn't doing any homework.
Has there ever been a more experienced, in terms of who you got out on the court tonight, NBA playoff team? I mean, I'm guessing there have to be.
Maybe the Showtime Lakers. It wouldn't be the Celtics of the 60s, even though they won 11 titles in 13 years because there weren't enough playoff series.
Right.
But the Showtime Lakers, perhaps. I think you'd have to look at maybe the mid-90s Bulls, their second sort of three-year run, because they had made, playoff series before then. But it's, right there, the Bulls had 24, and that doesn't count anything they did before that or the ones in the middle. So, there are probably teams that are comparable. But the thing that is the most important is not that they're experienced, but they're experienced with tread still on the tires. The guys who were their most important players in 2015 are still their most important players now, with the asterisk of Durant. But everywhere else, these guys are as central to their success as they have been. And what they've done is reinforce the stuff at the fringes. Looney, the addition of Wiggins, who is sort of a weird bridge between Harrison Barnes and Durant, in that he's better than Barnes was. He's clearly not as good as Durant was, but he's a really good middle. And then everybody else is either learning or has done this before and is filling in now. That's the thing, is they're hyper-experienced and they've still got gas in the tank.
Time now to tell you what's on tap.
It's time to find out what's on tap.
Tap Plastics.
Presented by Tap Plastics.
What's on tap is nothing short of the NBA Finals. Not trying to be disrespectful at Dallas here, but the numbers are staggering. No team has ever come back from 0-3 in the NBA. History looms large over the situation the Dallas Mavericks are facing. 75 years of NBA playoff basketball. The NBA has run this experiment 146 times. 0-146 are the results. There are just three teams, as a matter of fact, Ray, that ever even rallied to force a game seven before exiting on their shields. The 1951 New York Knicks, they even the series 3-3 before losing to the
Rochester Royals.
My man. The 1994 Jazz, they forced a game seven before losing to the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals. And then, of course, you had the 2003 Portland Trailblazers in the first round. The team that kept them down just happened to be the Dallas Mavericks. They won that in seven. So that's what's on tap, presented by Tap Plastics, the ultimate destination for do-it-yourself enthusiasts. And I'll tell you what is also on tap tonight is an incredibly somber moment. Because in the state of Texas, 14 elementary school children were killed today by yet another mass shooting in America. Every single time you look up, and this is something that Steve Kerr had talked to us about in the past, that he has been through moments of silence and more moments of silence, either before national anthems or before games tip off, way too many times in his career. And tonight, to sit down with the media in Dallas, Steve Kerr wasn't interested in talking about basketball. Here is his entire media statement.
I'm not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left shoot around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly Black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs. You know, come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. You realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check. 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
That is Steve Kerr's entire media pregame press conference today, and the weight of it is obvious. He's so right about what he's saying. It's something that we've addressed on this show too many times to count. It's something that I would talk about more if I didn't feel it was, you know, almost futile to talk about it, because he's right. There is a political party who has but one way to hold on to power, and that is to subvert the will of the people democratically, from a what people want in terms of gun control, in terms of women reproductive rights. There is a wave of fascism that is going on intentionally. And 14 more children killed today. When the children are killed at Sandy Hook, you know, it just came and went. Like every mass shooting. We have the tools to solve this problem. But we don't solve the problem because of the consolidation of power amongst a group of just horrid men who are more interested in your family being shot than losing elections. And it's absolutely pathetic. Before we bring in our friend John Dickinson live from Dallas, Ray, have you got anything to say?
Steve Kerr said everything I want to. You can play him again rather than, you know, me saying, just repeating it. He's right. He's indisputably right. And we've been piling up bodies on stuff like this for decades now. And nothing seems to change what happens in Washington, and nothing seems to change what happens with, you know, gun owners who don't believe in safe gun ownership. They're not even talking about taking away guns. Talking about safe gun ownership.
Well, and look.
And it's, you know, it's beyond the speaking point. You know, if they wonder why people don't regard the electoral process in America as valid anymore, this is it. It's right there in front of you.
You know, of course, somebody already on the Xfinity mobile text line, I already know what side of the aisle you vote from this question, which is the automatic question that comes out now. How come we're not talking about mental health? Well, I'll tell you why, because the Republicans will kill every single bill that would lead to a better grasp of mental health for people who really needed it. They would crap all over that, too. That's why. You can't cancel every single caring program, after-school program, and care about, you know, like, again, this is the party that wants to protect life right until it's born, then screw every one of them. And it is a problem. And it is a one side of the aisle problem. I'm happy that we live in a place that has a coach who uses a huge platform to talk like that. John Dickinson is coming to us live from Dallas, and I told you that we would play his theme song, but it just feels inappropriate having heard that from Steve Kerr. So, John, we'll do it hopefully in the NBA Finals when we're ready to have a little bit more fun. But that is fantastic what Steve Kerr said. Very powerful moment in the room, and I'm guessing you were in there for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And helping to you know, turn that around for our social media team as well to get it posted quickly. And I echo what Ray had to say. I'm glad we played it in its entirety. There's nothing that I could have said that he didn't say any better. And, you know, I like everybody, has just been sick the better part of the entire day by the events that went on here in the state of Texas, and now 18 dead. It's just absolutely catastrophically horrific. And yeah, there are a lot of people that aren't really totally locked into to thinking about and talking about basketball tonight. So well said by everybody, and obviously we'll try to move on and talk about the game, I suppose. But I think it's really good that we're acknowledging that in the manner that Steve Kerr put it out there.
And for those who want to say, what has Steve Kerr done in his life to be qualified to talk about that? Well, his father was killed by gunfire, straight up assassinated. And I dropped off both my kids in preschools today. And when you become a father, you start thinking about these things. When you become a parent, you start looking at things differently, and it's absolutely disgusted. It's disgusting what has happened. And the fact that Steve Kerr called everybody out, called a few people out by name, I think is fantastic. He is right, though. We will go play as if nothing happened. It is what we do as a society, and there is a bit of shame attached to it, I think. And it's also what we do. So let's talk a little bit about what is going to happen here tonight. It's a stranglehold, obviously, JD, that the Warriors have. Are you looking at Dallas body language in a way that makes you think they're going to ball their fist and throw their best punch possible? Or do you think it'll be a little bit more like the way their post-game press conference sound after game three, where everyone basically seemed to say, hey, we're young, we're trying, we're learning an awful lot, we'll get them next year, when this year ain't even over yet.
Yeah, I think the first quarter tonight is going to tell the story as to whether those feelings from Sunday night postgame are still there, or whether or not they've got some fight left in them to the tune of what maybe the Memphis Grizzlies had after they got down 3-1 playing a game at home where they blew the Warriors out, or the Nuggets when they got down in the same position 3-0 at home in the first round and they played a pretty good game to stay alive and stave off elimination for at least a couple of more days. I think the Mavs are the tell. If they are even half into it, I think the Warriors are going to sink their teeth into that as an opportunity. I really don't know what to expect from the Warriors. 8 days off versus 6 days off, I'm not sure that really matters all that much. They have tended to not play well once they know they have a series in hand and they have that one game, shall we say, to play with a little bit. They've played with it when they've been in that position. So is tonight different with the NBA Finals on the line? Your guess is as good as mine on that one, but I do think Dallas and the way they come out will be as big a factor as anything. If they aren't fully set on saving themselves tonight, then I think the Warriors would put them away, even if it's not the most well-played game by the Warriors.
Dallas's biggest failing in this series, at least to my way of thinking, is their absolute abandonment of playing defense inside the arc. The Warriors are shooting 60% in this series, you know, outside of threes. They've owned the boards. Do they have a move left? Or based on the fact that they love to take threes and they've loved to take it all year long, are they just resigned to the fact that the Warriors are going to own everything inside 15 feet again?
Yeah, I think they need to. I don't think they have a move left to answer that question first. I think they're going to keep casting off, and I think they're going to keep trying to run the Warriors off the three-point line. But there's got to be a little bit more resistance or physicality once the Warriors do get inside the paint, because that's where it really has been lacking from the Dallas side of things. I think they've been relatively happy with their three-point defense, but it's come at the expense of, like you're saying, the 60% from two, and even better than that at times once you get into the paint. So I think no move left. I think they're hoping they come out and the open threes are hitting early, and maybe the Warriors sort of pack it in, kind of like they did in Memphis when they got hit with that barrage in Game 5. But no, I don't think tactically there's anything in the bag other than just trying to defensively play a little bit more forcefully once the Warriors are off the three-point line and trying to attack inside.
Time now for tonight's injury report, brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. I'm guessing, JD, nothing has changed. We got Otto Porter Jr. out tonight with left foot soreness. No Gary Payton II, Andre Iguodala, both remain shelved.
That's it. And the Warriors exercising caution, although Steve Kerr did say this morning at shoot-around that Otto Porter's foot still sore. So they're going to hold him out and give him either the 8 days if they win, but at a minimum they wanted to make sure they could give him today and tomorrow to give him a better shot of maybe playing in Game 5 if Game 5 is deemed necessary by the end of the evening. So I would say I would expect a little Kuminga tonight with Porter out if Steve Kerr wants to extend the rotation. Kuminga got his first meaningful run in the Denver series when the Warriors were up 3-1 and then was able to have a nice little stretch from there where he played a little bit. I think this is a nice window with the 3-0 lead and Porter out. Somebody has to play some of those minutes. I think we probably see a little Jonathan Kuminga for the first time.
JD has the post game tonight along with Whitey, and I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you're talking about a win and getting ready for game one of the NBA Finals, even though there's no clue as to who the Warriors would be waiting for. JD, thank you very, very much for joining us.
You got it, guys. Take care.
John Dickinson here on 95.7 The Game, live from Dallas. And we are going to, coming up next here on Warriors Live, brought to you by Xfinity Internet, better streaming with our Flex 4K device, voice remote, Peacock Premium, all at no extra cost and no strings attached. We are going to be replaying the interview that Ray and I did with Steve Kerr yesterday, when he was obviously in a much better mood before another nationwide gun massacre and a mass shooting in America, which this time kills elementary school children. Somebody on the text line says, why don't you guys talk about the fact that Steve Kerr turns a blind eye to China? Again, I guarantee you that you spend your entire life screaming, America first, America first. But when it's convenient for you, you'll say something like, but what about China? You don't care about China. All you want to do is change the subject. It's disgusting. It's disgusting the way a political party has revealed itself in all their true stripes and colors. There is no doubt about who is working against the concept of being normal, safer, and happier in this country, and who is not. Don't pretend you don't know the difference. Don't give me the but what abouts. Yeah, there's corruption everywhere in politics, but one is born from racism and a control on power that would otherwise have slipped through their fingers years ago.
When did China become a bigger issue than shooting children?
In America, for Americans. Well, and it's convenient to them.
Well, no, I understand. It's convenient. It's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, the Make America, the America First crowd points to China whenever they think they can score points over there. That's it.
Well, but
it's
more
a good
than
way
that,
to not talk about what we're really talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's we're not interested in safety, keeping children alive. That's a statement.
Sure is.
Yeah, that's it. And you're right. I mean, China's not even part of it. It's just they'd say anything to get off the subject, and that's why sometimes the text line is not worth reading.
Steve Kerr's statement was incredibly powerful. We will keep it focused on basketball for the remainder of Warriors Live with a replay of Steve Kerr coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors Live here on 95.7 The Game. Yesterday on Damon and Ratto, we were happy enough to sit down with Steve Kerr for a long conversation about where they are, how they've gotten here, and how much fun this ride has been so far. And we, of course, started with the fact that the Warriors are in a very enviable situation, up 3-0. we started with. Steve, what do you think brings your team to this moment? Does one particular moment stand out?
No, I don't think it was one moment. I think it was, you know, really an accumulation of a lot of work, you know, mostly from our players, but also organizationally, you know, over the last couple of years, just making the right moves and players and working with coaches and training staff to develop. And we just got healthy, you know. The past couple of years, the injuries have taken their toll, but I'm really proud of the way the group kept working the last 2 years to put us back in the position we're in now, and the guys are really taking advantage of it.
You have done, you do more media, and the obligations increase by the day the further you go. What is the theme, Steve, that you've grown most tired of, either dispelling or just wish people would understand about your team as you politely try to repackage what I'm guessing is the same answer over and over again when you get the same question repackaged at you over and over again? What are you just tired of addressing?
Well, nothing now. I mean, it's when you're winning, it's great. Everybody tells you you're great, and the questions are a lot easier. I suppose if I had to really be transparent, I think the last couple of years, hearing from a lot of experts that we needed to run a lot more pick and roll was a little bit annoying at times. Because I know that with this group, the way we play with the ball movement, with the talents of Steph and Clay and Draymond, we've built something really special and sustainable, and it's just great to be able to go back out there and watch these guys play the way they play, because I think it's really effective basketball, and when we're all healthy, it's beautiful to watch.
Given as many players as you've used in this postseason and how many varied ways they've been used, do you sometimes feel like you have more tools than you need, or that maybe it's a hard way to figure out how to use all the things you've got at your disposal in any given game?
Well, I mean, there's never such thing as too many tools, as a coach. I mean, winning is all about talent, and we've got a lot of talent, obviously. The ability to look down the bench and to bring in a number of players who are really talented and can impact the game, that's just a huge luxury. So I think the hard thing is sometimes, figuring out which players to use, because we have a lot of guys who are worthy. When you start looking down the list down the bench, we've got a lot of guys who have contributed throughout the year, whether it's Damian Lee or JK, Moses, the rookies, Bielitsa, Damian, I mentioned. All these guys are capable and talented and can help us, but we have to try to decide, which matchups make the most sense for which guys.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, can you tell us a little bit more about Moses Moody's inclusion here in your rotation? I think he's played a little bit more than anyone really expected after, how you used him in the regular season. And he said, you got a lot of reviews from your locker room by the guys that matter, saying he's, wise beyond his years. He's earned these minutes. What did he do to earn these minutes, and how does he fit for you in this series?
Well, he's very professional in his approach and really worked hard all season, embraced everything, whether it was the work in the training room and the weight room or his stints in Santa Cruz. He's just very professional, and he's really an ideal 3-and-D guy in the modern game. He's big and strong. He's got a good wingspan, shoots the ball well. And in this series, which is a very kind of switchable series with the way Dallas is playing, we need a guy like Moses out there who can switch and make shots and make smart plays when they start doubling Steph. So he's been a good fit.
If you were the sort to save up I told you so's, and I don't know if you are or not, maybe you are secretly, but how many would you have saved up for people who wanted to tell you about Kevon Looney or Andrew Wiggins?
I think, you guys know I've always been Kevon's biggest fan, and he's just been so rock solid for us over the years. And I think the hard part for people out there is you know, they see the games on TV and that's it. But, you know, being a great team has a lot to do with what happens in the locker room, how guys interact with one another, the leadership, the internal leadership that you need. And, you know, Loon has been such a big part of that the last couple of years, especially as we've transitioned into this era where we're trying to bring along these young guys. And so Loon is a big part of our foundation. And then I think with Wiggs, you're really getting a look at why you have to have, you know, big two-way players. And we knew this from going to the finals five straight years. You know, it's, you get to the playoffs, it's survival out there defensively, and you have to have, you know, guys who can take on the physical toll of guarding the world's best players. And so the trade for Wiggs was all about that, all about his two-way ability. And what's been great is just to see his development, to see him embrace everything that's come his way, every challenge. And I think he's playing the best basketball of his life right now, and we absolutely need it going against Luka Doncic.
It's a development I don't think anyone really saw coming, maybe other than you and your coaching staff. We almost have a two-way Loon going at this point. The way that he's been able to contribute offensively, he's averaging 13 points here in the Western Conference Finals. Did you expect him to be as much of a golden garbage man as he's really turned into for you? I mean, it feels like he is giving you double what you could even, as his biggest champion, have expected from him offensively.
Well, he's gotten a lot better the last couple of years as a passer, and he's never been an athletic guy, so his finishing around the hoop is more dependent on the opponent, you know, than it is himself. Although I will say I think his footwork has improved, his left hand has improved. So, you know, he's worked hard at it, and he's gotten better with it. But in this series in particular, you know, Dallas plays a lot of small three-point shooting lineups, and so there's room underneath the basket, not a ton of shot blocking, so he's able to maneuver his way in there and find some buckets.
I have a contingent of listeners who is trying, they're trying to hold my feet to the fire for previewing Luka Doncic in terms of the glowing review that I gave him, to kind of let Warriors fans understand what the Warriors would be up against in just dealing with Luka Doncic alone. Everyone sees now your 3-0 lead and is trying to tell me I'm wrong. Luka is overrated and is not ready. And I just think that that's absurd. Are you watching what this man is doing kind of by himself? And I would think that maybe you could address this even better than I can, since you have seemingly cooked up more different defenses to slow that young man down than you have thrown out against any player I think I've ever seen you coach against, LeBron James included.
Yeah, we're trying to throw a lot at him because that's how good he is. You just can't let him get into a comfortable rhythm because he just shoots any shot he wants. You know, he's got the step back three, he's got the fadeaway mid-ranger, and he can get to the rim using his strength and leverage to create shots at the basket. So he is an absolute handful, just a brilliant young player, and our defense is really geared around him and his talents, and then obviously they surround him with really good three-point shooting. Got a couple other good playmakers with Brunson and Dinwiddie. So we're just trying to do our best to limit what they do, knowing that they're very capable of doing what they did in Game 2 and making, you know, 23s or whatever it was. So it's a very difficult job. Wiggs is doing a ton of work trying to stay in front of Doncic He's, you know, it's funny. Like, I thought he did a great job last night, and Doncic had 40 points. So, you know, it's one of those things where some guys are just so good that you can only do so much. But as long as what we do is enough to win the game, that's the only thing that we care about.
In your wildest, most drunken dreams, would you have imagined that you guys would be as dominant on the boards in this postseason as you have been, given the fact that you're supposed to be too small?
Well, remember, we had a good rebounding season. We were, I think, in the top 10 in rebounding percentage. I think it was a surprise against Memphis, given that Memphis was the number one rebounding team in the league this year and has a massive front line and athletic wings. So that was surprising to me. But all in all, we've been a good rebounding team all year. So I think the fact that it's continued in the postseason is it should not be a shock.
Steve, do you and Bob need to trade for a big at the deadline?
Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe that was the question. That was what I should have answered when you asked that question in this interview.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. There's been much made of and even a significant fine levied against the Dallas Mavericks for their bench behavior. What do you think of their bench's behavior? And at what point does a fine become unnecessary and like maybe a technical foul be assessed on that?
Yeah, I mean, energy is great. I mean, I love seeing benches up, cheering their guys on, talking trash. That's all part of the game, but it just can't interfere with the game. And it did in game two when Steph passed the ball to Theo Pinson wearing a white shirt and who was, you know, holding his arm up, calling for the ball. And that, you know, that crossed the line. Everything else is fine. You love seeing players engaged. I don't know that I'd want to sit in the seats behind the bench. You know, that wouldn't be great. But, you know, it's I got no problem with it, like I said, as long as it's not interfering with the game.
Speaking of down in front, the beer vendor that tripped Curry right before the half, is that breaking the vendor code?
It reminded me of the old Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Larry David.
Shaq. Yeah. Yeah. That was the access that everybody has now. It seems like everyone is just closer and more intimate than ever before in terms of just being on top of the game, whether it's actual, you know, people 2 feet away from the action or, you know, getting interviewed during the middle of the game or having the microphone in the, you know, in the huddle or, you know, camera in the locker room. Well, it's just, you know, the way we sell the game and promote the game, it's very, very intimate. And most of that is really good because it provides an incredible experience for the fans. But I agree with Steph. Just wait till halftime to serve the guy the beer, and I'm sure he'll be fine.
Are you upset at all that he didn't order one for you on his way off the floor?
100%.
It's amazing how much we have wiped from our memories of those 2 years of Warriors basketball based on what we're getting from you and your team now, Steve. And here we are once again. You know, I can't imagine how many times Phil Jackson in the playoffs would go 16 minutes into an interview without getting a bona fide question about his best player playing in the series. And here we are about 16, 17 minutes into this interview. And we haven't even really asked you a serious question about Steph Curry. And I think that is just reflective of the unselfish, egoless, true superstar that he's become. He is the ultimate winner. He's one of the ultimate winners in the history of this league. Can you tell how much fun he is having now on this run? And did you think that he really thought it might get back to this as soon as it did?
It's easy to tell that Steph is having fun. I mean, I think that's one of his most appealing characteristics that fans latch on to is just his joy, his love for the game. And he's also one of the world's great competitors, which, you know, maybe people don't see as much of. So when you combine those two things, you've got the perfect playoff performer because that's what guys live for. They're built that way. So Steph is just thrilled to be back. He is playing at such a high level, doing everything we need from him night in and night out, leading us in such an incredible manner. It's just wonderful to see him doing his thing out there.
I have got a question, Steve, if you'll indulge me, because I cooked up this theory. As the basketball world is just getting to see the Warriors again and how you guys play so unselfishly and the ball movement and the motion offense that is so rarely run at the professional level, and that's why it feels like so many teams are unaccustomed to seeing what it is you do. Is there some Bob Knight in there? I mean, it feels like I'm watching some tic-tac-toe interior passing that might have been, you know, Alan Henderson and Damon Bailey. And it just feels like the offense is so motion-based. I'm watching some old Indiana Hoosiers basketball. I'm wondering if there isn't any tape that you have pulled out recently to demonstrate motion offense, because it feels like that's what you're throwing at. I mean, it's a pure, and I don't say this word negatively, it's a college motion offense built on player movement, getting to a space, vacating space, everyone having the right spacing. It's gorgeous what you're doing again.
Well, I appreciate that. I think we have an offense that is definitely unique. In no way, shape, or form was it, informed by Bob Knight or Indiana. I can tell you that.
I'm projecting, aren't I?
you may be showing your Indiana roots a little bit. But the offense comes from kind of the combination of influences that I've had in my career. A lot of triangle stuff from Phil Jackson, some San Antonio actions, kind of side-to-side ball movement from Pop. When Alvin Gentry came here, he brought some of the actions that he and Mike D'Antoni ran in Phoenix. So there's an influence there from all those people, but trying to tailor it to the modern game with all the three-point shooting and the high screen and roll. But the biggest thing is just the personnel that we have. We've got Steph and Clay, two of the greatest off-ball shooters on earth ever. We've got Draymond Green, who's a natural point center, point forward. And we got a bunch of guys who know how to pass and play. So it's the reason it's rare in the NBA is because there's so much turnover, roster-wise, coaching-wise. So I think our continuity is just really crucial to our style. But it's mostly based on personnel and the talent that we have, which we're just incredibly blessed to throw out there every single night.
Well, look, Coach, I think we know where this is going. We don't know how it ends, but I think we know where this is going. And either way, what a ride you're taking us on once again. It's been so enjoyable. It's been fun. It's been pretty. At times, it's been ugly. It is just the NBA is fantastic. And you guys are the best show in the NBA. There's no doubt about it. Thank you very much for taking us on this ride again.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And trust me, I'm enjoying the ride just as much as everybody. No better place to do it than in the Bay Area because people love basketball in the Bay. We feel that, and we've got a great home court advantage, great following, and it's what a pleasure it is just to be part of it all.
Steve Kerr yesterday on Damon and Ratto. This is Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity Internet. Better streaming with our Flex 4K device, voice remote, Peacock Premium, all at no extra cost and no strings attached. Ray, before we wrap things up here, we got to get into Who's Cooking, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. And so far in this series, it really has been Andrew Wiggins. The guy is plus 66 in overall plus minus through three games. Luka Doncic just happens to be a mirror minus 66. And so Andrew Wiggins continues to keep it cooking. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today for a full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Now that we know what Andrew Wiggins can do, do you expect to see a game like we did in game three from him again, where he's pulling down incredible rebounds and making plays just everywhere for the Warriors?
No, but the beauty of this for the Warriors is that they don't need him to be that. He can be what he's been before that game because they just have more weapons than Dallas does. And I don't think, as good as Dallas's defense was in the regular season, that they know how to cover a team that not only can shoot well from beyond the arc, but is more than willing to go inside it to get points, because that's the biggest surprise of the series. It's that Golden State is not trying to outshoot Dallas from distances. They're just going where the points are, and that's why they've had such control of the series.
Another big reason why they got control of the series is the last thing to let you know about, which is it's time for us to pick someone who we think is going to take it to the bank tonight, brought to you by Fremont Bank. And I don't think we've ever had this name in this segment, Ray, as long as we've been doing this show, ahead of almost every game this season. Tonight, I'm going with Kevon Looney. And there's a reason why. You can take his performance, I think, to the bank, because he is playing the best basketball of his life in the last four games that he's played. Just looking at this backwards, game three against Dallas, 9 points, 12 rebounds, four assists, and a steal. Game two against Dallas, he had a career high 21 points, 12 rebounds, and two assists. In game one against Dallas, 10 points, five rebounds, four assists, two blocks. And in the closeout game six against Memphis, he has a career high 32 minutes, 4 points, a career high 22 rebounds, a playoff career high 11 offensive rebounds, 5 assists, which is also a playoff career high, and a block. In 124 minutes across the last four games, he has had only four turnovers. Kevon Looney is finally showing you, sometimes even in gaudy numbers, what a steady performer he's become for Steve Kerr and the Warriors.
Well, and he's had a huge advantage in that Dallas has settled for three so many times that they don't have numbers underneath the basket. So between the fact that he knows how to position himself and that he's quick enough to chase down long rebounds, he's had the run of the building. And that, as much as anything, is why he has excelled to the extent that he has. It just, you see now in wide open terms what he does more subtly in normal games, which is he doesn't get put out of position. He doesn't get shoved out of the way very often. And he's just so good fundamentally that when you make his job easier, all of a sudden you notice him a lot more.
Do you think we'll be doing Warriors Live on Thursday ahead of a game five?
I'd say the chances are about 1 in 3. I think the Warriors ought to win because I don't know what the adjustment is that Dallas is willing to do other than shooting 60% from beyond the arc, which they have not come close to doing.
They've been more 1 for 3 from behind the
exactly.
arc.
Exactly. So I would give them a chance of winning just based on the fact that sometimes you just make a bunch of shots, but that would be going against the run of play.
The Mavericks are -1 in Las Vegas tonight. What do they know that we don't know?
Everything, but that, you know, that's why I always like betting the unders.
There you go. Under is 215.5. And again, unless Dallas does catch fire from downtown, I don't know how you hit that over. And if they don't do that, I don't know how we get to a game five. Hopefully the Warriors bring this puppy to an end tonight. The last time they were in the Western Conference Finals, they swept. It'd be nice to see them do it again and have a nice layoff ahead of game one of the NBA Finals. But who knows? Sports does tend to happen when you least expect it. Thanks so much to John Dickinson for joining us from Dallas earlier in the show tonight. For Ray, for Lucas, for Grandy, I'm Damon Bruce. Have a good time. Enjoy the game. And hopefully this is it. And if not, we'll talk to you tomorrow, no matter what. And we will do Warriors Live ahead of Game 5 if we need to on Thursday. But let's find out if we need to do that first. In the meantime, thank you for tuning in. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.